Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 3. In verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Boy, what a provocative question. Who among you is wise? Who among you has understanding? Do you have any wisdom? Isn't that provocative? Do you have any wisdom? The inverse of that, if you think that thought through, it's really asking, do you have wisdom or are you stupid? Who is wise among you? And then it continues, let him show by good conduct, that is to say a lifestyle, that his works are done in meekness, which is faith, obedience, of wisdom. So who is wise among you? Are you wise? Who here is wise? Then let them show by the way they conduct themselves. People sometimes think in Christianity, oh, it's not about my behavior, it's not about how I'm doing, it's about the fact that God loves me. The God who loves you is going to want some results from the love that he invested in you, and one of those results is godliness. God doesn't say, oh, I love you, live like the devil. He doesn't work that way. God says, oh, I love you, and I have devised a plan in Romans 8:29 for you to become just like me. So who is wise? Let him show his wisdom by the way that he conducts himself. Inversely, he who is stupid and the opposite of wisdom is foolishness, aka stupid, that person will also reflect that in the way they conduct themselves. Now, there are some people online, I'm sure they will be offended by this. Go ahead and be offended, knock yourself out, let God discipline you, and then you will find out that your offense really didn't take you anywhere. Better to humble yourself when you hear the word of God and apply it than to be offended at the word of God and let God discipline you and then you apply it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good lifestyle, the good way that he conducts himself, that his works are done in faith obedience of wisdom. Faith obedience is wisdom. Wisdom is skillful application of the word of God. That, by definition, is faith obedience. So when I live in faith obedience, I'm manifesting wisdom. When I don't live in faith obedience, I manifest foolishness. So who is wise? The person who lives in faith obedience. That person is wise. Now, sometimes faith obedience will not make sense to people. It doesn't matter. Sometimes faith obedience won't make sense to you. That doesn't matter either. Never get to the point where you think to yourself, I have to understand it first before I can apply what God says. In other words, I'm in a situation and I have to understand how my obedience to God is going to affect this situation or affect me in this situation before I, by faith, am obedient to God. That's a bad thought. Because that thought makes you the judge of the Word of God. That's a bad thought. The Word is what became flesh. Therefore, if I'm judging the Word of God, I'm judging God Himself. You never want to get there. That's why one third of heaven fell in Revelation 12 and Ezekiel 28. So you really want to be careful. You simply receive the Word of God by faith, mix faith with what you hear, and then apply it, because mixing faith with what you hear will force it into your frame of reference. Your frame of reference is the basis of your thinking. And then you no longer have to worry about, am I right, am I wrong, am I thinking right, am I thinking wrong, Am I making good decisions? Am I making bad decisions? If the foundation of your thinking is the Word of God, then everything else will follow. It will be according to the Word of God. Even if it makes no sense, even if the world says you're crazy, don't worry about it. Just live in faith obedience. That is wisdom. That person is wise. The Word of God says in Luke 7:35 that wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, the results of wisdom justify the wisdom that is. Sometimes a person will act in wisdom, but in worldly terms, they don't do as well as the person who is wicked. Well, the Word of God tells us, don't envy the wicked person that they have gain. Because for the wicked, gain becomes loss. They don't realize that, but their gain becomes their loss. So don't envy somebody if they are wicked. Why? Wisdom is justified over children. I'm not going to mention who this was, but it was a very famous person who asked Mother Teresa a very interesting question. Now, for those of you who might not know, Mother Teresa was an Albanian nun who moved to Calcutta as a missionary, started an order called the Sisters of Charity. And their main purpose at that time was to care for dying people who had nobody to care for them. And she dedicated her life to this. She never became rich. She never became worldly successful. She did become well known by the love that she gave people. This very wealthy, very famous person, if I told you who it was, you would know it in an instant. This person asked Mother Teresa, don't you feel like you've wasted your life? Because you have no wealth. You're poor. You serve all these people all your life, and you don't get anything in return. That person did not know what it means to be wise. She applied as best as she knew how, faith, obedience. She went with what God was imparting to her heart, and she obeyed what God said to her. And love that she manifested was the reward, but it wasn't a worldly reward. But wisdom is justified of her children. Sometimes the justification of wisdom is not found in this life. Sometimes the justification of wisdom is found at the Bema seat. When we stand before God for rewards, much of our wisdom will be justified. So don't think that justification comes here. God is not interested in justifying us before a lost and dying world that is under the control of his enemy. That's not where anyone finds their justification. God is not trying to justify a person by making them wealthy or famous or somehow other worldly successful. None of that stuff has any meaning with God when he says that if you seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33, then everything is given unto you. You already possess all the riches you could possibly want, and you access them by seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, I don't have a BMW. You don't need a BMW. If you drive a Toyota, you're driving a car. Who cares if it's a BMW or a Toyota or a Chevy or any other car you can think? You got a horse. It doesn't matter. None of those things are important in God's economy. There's people who are being persecuted for the name of Christ in prisons in places like Iran or North Korea or some of these different hostile countries. And those people are practicing amazing wisdom before God, even though by worldly standards you would say, well, maybe they should just deny God and get themselves out of prison. But you know what? Wisdom is justified over children. At the Bema Seat, those people are going to be called winners and rulers. Wisdom's going to justify them. Now, the Word of God says, and this is an amazing situation, really. If you're familiar with this situation, it can blow your mind. In 1 Kings 4:30, Solomon's wisdom, King Solomon, David's son, it excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. His wisdom became famous all over the world. In 1 Kings 10:1, the Queen of Sheba. Now, scholars tell us that was in Africa, probably somewhere around the area of Ethiopia. The Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with hard questions. And then in verse 6, then she said to the king, "It is a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity as a result of that wisdom exceeds the fame of which I heard." This guy became famous for his wisdom. The whole world heard how famous this man was because of his wisdom. Now here's the thing about it. Solomon turned away from his wisdom. In 1 Kings 11:4, "For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." What happened there? Solomon allowed himself to be distracted from the wisdom that God gave him. God made him the wisest man in the world when Solomon was humble. The reason why he became so wise is that when David died and Solomon became king, Solomon asked God, "Give me the wisdom to be a good king for your people." God loved that. And God said, "You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask me to kill your enemies. You didn't ask for anything except that you wanted to be a good king for God's people." He said, "Therefore, I will give you that wisdom. But I'll also give you all the things you could have asked for and didn't." You see, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. God will give you all the things you could have asked for and didn't, because what you wanted in your life was seeking first the kingdom of God. You wanted the kingdom of God in your life, and God gives you the kingdom of God in your life, and then everything else that you could have wanted, but you wanted the kingdom of God instead, God gives it all to you. That's wisdom. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." In Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding." Understanding is simply knowing how to apply things. It often comes from the experience of other people. The worst thing we can do is constantly try to reinvent the wheel. In other words, I have to figure it out myself when somebody has already figured it out and then they could just tell you about it. But no, I got to figure it out myself. That means you're back at square one. And you're going to spend all this time to get to what you could have had if somebody else had simply given you wisdom, truth, from the Word of God. And you started with that. Buy the truth, it says. Don't reinvent the wheel. Buy the truth. Get the truth. Get it from a preacher. Get it from somebody who's been there, done that. Get it from somebody who knows the Word of God, who's seen God come through, who's got experience with God. Get it from them. And don't sell it. And then you'll also have wisdom and understanding. In Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong. How do I keep from being a weak individual? Because there's a lot of weak individuals in the world. I buy wisdom. I get wisdom and I become a strong individual. Why am I strong? Because I know how to properly apply the Word of God. That is strength. That's the definition of strength. I know how to properly apply the Word of God. That means I know how to think. I know what decisions to make. I feel correctly. In other words, my emotions are good because they're responding to the Word of God. My emotions are bad when I respond to something else. This person is very strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases in strength. So the more of the Word of God that I get, the more wisdom I get, the more wisdom I get, the stronger I become, the less I'm likely to be tripped up by my enemy, by circumstances, by details, by problems, by health issues, by things that come against me. Why? I have the ability to apply the Word of God. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is an all-knowing mind. So when I tap into the Word of God, I'm tapping into the all-knowing mind. And by being saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you who's guiding you in all truth in John 16:13. That means in John 17:17, He's guiding you in the Word of God. It's not like you have to figure it out yourself. The Holy Spirit is living in you and He's showing you how to apply it. He's teaching you. He's guiding you. He'll put it in your thinking. This is the way to apply it. That's why He's given to you. I get the Word of God and I give the Holy Spirit something to work with to give me wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from myself. It comes from God. When I turn to God, He gives it to me. When I ask Him for it, He gives it to me in abundance. He doesn't get mad at us when we don't have it, if we ask Him for it. Where we get in trouble is we don't have wisdom and we stay with that. Well, nobody in their natural mind has wisdom. The natural mind apart from God is dumb. Nobody in their natural mind has wisdom. But when I live in faith, when I apply the Word, when I respond to God, when I take in the Word, let it become my frame of reference, then I start having wisdom. In Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom, a house is built. Now, that's not talking about the house somebody lives in. A house, really, that was written by a king. A house means not just the house of a king, but the family and lineage of a king that maintains a throne. For example, the Bible talks about the house of David. It wasn't David's home. It was David, his sons, his grandsons, his great-grandsons, and so on. All these people who were the kings of Israel and Judah, these people were the relatives, the sons of David, that was the house of David. That went on for a very long time, and it'll continue in the millennial reign. Through wisdom, David, now this was written by Solomon, but through wisdom, David built not the kingdom just for himself, but for all of his descendants. And it will remain with his descendants because David, even though he did make monumental mistakes as far as sin goes, he always adjusted, exercised mercy, ran to God, and in the end, applied wisdom. Solomon, who had the greatest wisdom that anybody was ever given, forsook the wisdom, and the direct result was that his son was perhaps one of the biggest fools that ever lived. When his son Rehoboam took over the throne, he was so foolish that it split the country. And then for hundreds of years afterwards, the country was separated. You had 10.5 tribes maintaining what was called Israel, but really they weren't right with God. 1.5 tribes separated, stayed actually faithful to Rehoboam the fool. The 10.5 tribes went to Solomon's enemy, Jeroboam, who had to escape into Egypt because he was such a wicked enemy. He came back, saw his opportunity with the fool on the throne, took away 10.5 tribes. Can you imagine that? Over 80%? And then what happened? Then for the next few hundred years, Judah was a separate country from Israel. Judah stayed right most of the time, but even they had their decline. But still, Judah had some good kings and some bad. It was about 50-50. But Israel, all their kings were lousy. They went after other gods. Why? Solomon forsook his wisdom. You know what? Foolishness can destroy a house in a similar fashion that wisdom will build one. In Proverbs 13:4, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Wisdom is refreshing. It imparts life to you, it imparts joy to you, it imparts hope to you, imparts everything that God wants to give you. You receive it by wisdom. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Did you know that you have an enemy? Ask yourself this. You don't have to answer me, but ask yourself, did you know that you have an enemy? Most likely you do. The enemy in John 10:10 comes to rob, destroy, and kill. The way that you avoid him is through the teaching of wisdom, by the teaching of those who have wisdom. Then it says in verse 15, good understanding wins favor. In other words, when you know how to apply the word of God, you get favor. And the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, the word hard there in the Amplified Bible, they bring this out pretty well. It means hard like the barren, dry soil or an impassable swamp. So the transgressor tries to continue, but it's like going through a swamp that you can't get through. You get caught on things that snag you. There's animals that are dangerous in the swamp. There's all kinds of bad things in the swamp, and you just can't get through that swamp. You become bogged down in it. That's the way of a transgressor. That's the way of the person who has no wisdom, who doesn't have good understanding. But if you get good understanding, things are easy. Progress is easy. Success is easy. A good life is easy when there's wisdom. Who is wise? Well, the person who is wise is the one who lives in faith obedience. And if I'm living in faith obedience, I'm already living in that which God said is going to make things good for me. So what do? I get wisdom. Whatever you do, always get wisdom, always practice wisdom, always stick with wisdom. It's kind of a simple question, but a lot of people make the wrong choice. What's better, wisdom or foolishness? Choose wisdom. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."